Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to TV judge Karen Mills Francis, whose syndicated courtroom show will be back on the air this fall for its third season. She's also the author of a brand new book, Stay in Your Own Lane, Judge Karen's Guide to Living Your Best. Stick around. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of two-timers, gamblers, cheaters, hustlers, and a lot of others with free time in the afternoon in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Was he the first married man you had ever dated?
No, but I swore that I'd never do that again.
God, Abraham, and Moses, this is the last.
It is a judge's duty to give the folks who come before him or her good advice and guidance. Judge Karen Mills Francis, she's the one with the blonde hair and the red robe at the center of TV's syndicated Judge Karen's Court, takes this responsibility seriously, but with a dose of humility, too. And that's evident from a viewing of the former Miami-Dade County Judge's TV show and her new book, Stay in Your Own Lane, Judge Karen's Guide to Living Your Best Life. Judge Karen's TV show has endured some challenging times. It was a big hit when launched in 2008, but was canceled a year later when Sony gave up the court TV business. In a rare accomplishment, she brought her show back from the dead last fall and returned right back to the top of the ratings. According to the New York Post, the show finished the November 2010 sweeps as New York's number one syndicated show in households and in women ages 18 to 34, 18 to 49, and 25 to 54. Not bad for fellow University of Florida Gator, huh? Judge Karen, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, from one gator to another, thank you.
Go Gators! Doing the chop right now. There you go. Your Honor, what is a nice gator like yourself doing mixed up with all these reprobates on TV?
You know, my grandfather always said, you know, keep walking. You don't know what's around the next corner. I would never imagine 3 or 4 years ago that I would be on television. But, you know, you said in your introduction that I'm humble, and I am humble, and I like people, and I think I'm on this earth to help people. And I see my show as giving me an opportunity to have a broader audience in which to do just that.
How and why does a successful lawyer and judge wind up as ringmaster of a TV circus like this?
What's interesting is that five of the judges on television are from Miami. Mm-hmm. So what is it about Miami? I think it's because it's a very multicultural city, and we see a lot of everything. I remember when I was a public defender, every morning going into the courthouse, there would be dead roosters outside the courthouse. That was part of that whole Santeria.
Santeria, yeah.
Yeah, that was very popular in the late 80s, early 90s. But I just think that because Miami has such a hodgepodge of different cultures and personalities, it breeds the type of judges that do well on television. So I guess that's how we all ended up there.
Hmm. Now, do I understand that Judge David Young, who's been on this show, helped you get started in TV?
I remember when I heard the news that David had gotten a show, and I saw him in the parking garage, and I said, every judge in Miami seems to be getting a TV show. How come nobody's ever asked me if I wanted a show? Apparently, he went back and told his producers at Sony, and they called me 2 weeks later and asked me to come to New York to audition. They were trying to create a new show, and they had called in seven judges from around the country, and I auditioned, and the rest is her story.
Her story. I got it. Nothing gets by me, Judge. Nothing.
I see.
And is being a judge on TV, is it much different from being a judge in you know, county court?
I was just in an interview yesterday where I said, I was asked the same question. I am the exact same person on television that I was in county court in Miami-Dade County. I had blonde hair. I had the red robe. I'm always myself. And I think that's probably what resonates with the viewers is that I really am authentic and genuine.
So that is natural blonde hair.
It's only my hairdresser knows for sure.
And you did wear the red robe in Dade County Court.
Yeah, I wore a red robe in Dade County. When you first become a judge, you're given a book to choose your robe, and then they measure you for the robes. And when I got the book, I saw robes in all different colors, green, purple, blue. And when I saw the burgundy, I said, it's my favorite color. You should see my house. My house is mostly burgundy. And I chose that robe. Later on, I found out that traditionally judges in the British court wore red robes before they ever wore black robes.
Hmm.
And then for the death of King Henry VIII, the judges decided to wear black robes in mourning. And that's how the black robes stuck.
Hmm.
And actually, there's a branch of the Canadian court system where the judges also wear red robes.
Well, just so you feel comfortable, you know, besides being fellow Gators, my living room studio here is whorehouse red.
Kind of a deep burgundy.
Yeah, you see that. We're for those of you who are just listening, we're actually doing this with some video, and so Her Honor can actually see the deep red behind.
Beautiful, and it's a good color for you too.
It brings out my high pale. So why don't more judges, whether on TV or in actual you know county or city court, federal court, why don't we see more variety of colors?
You know, in Miami, you do see a variety of colors. I know a judge that wears a green robe. I know another judge that has a purple robe. I know another judge that wears a blue robe. Maybe none of those judges have been approached for television shows.
Hmm.
And so maybe I was the first one who didn't wear a traditional color robe that was approached for a TV show. But it really isn't that unusual.
What is the audition for a TV court show like? What do you do?
I remember being very nervous because I had never auditioned for anything when I went up to New York. And they had me in this back room, you know, getting dressed and whatever. And then when I walked into the audition, quote unquote, I was in a courtroom. And a bailiff said, "All rise." And I just felt like I was in my regular courtroom. And they had two mock cases with a plaintiff and a defendant. They handed me a file. I read the pleadings, and then we just went through the case.
Huh.
And I just went through it like I would any other case. And they loved it, and they asked me if I was interested in the show, and I said yes.
You said, hell no. I just came here for the entertainment.
Right. I love New York.
Now, my guess is that with the show, there's a little more predictability about the type of cases that come before you because the producers have chosen them. Would that be fair to say?
That's fair. But I don't know the cases until I actually go into the courtroom.
Really?
Right. I'm not involved in choosing the cases or discussing the cases. There's an attorney, a show attorney, who prepares the pleading and prepares all the evidence and puts it in a file and hands it to me before I take the bench.
And how does that compare to being in county court? You would have a clerk that would do that?
Exactly. The attorney sort of acts like the clerk in real court because you'd have a clerk that hands you the file and you have an opportunity to read it right before you call the case.
Hmm. Interesting.
So a lot of people think we use actors. A lot of people think that there's a rehearsal. There's no rehearsal. There are no actors. It's hard to believe that these are real people with real issues and the resolution is real.
Yeah. Well, didn't you think that, though, when you first became a judge, that it was hard to believe these were real people?
It was kind of hard for me to believe that. But because I had been a lawyer in court in Miami, I have seen some of everything. So nothing surprises me.
Okay, you know that means I have to ask you, What is the strangest thing that ever walked into your court in Miami before TV?
I could tell you that the strangest thing that ever happened in court for me happened when I was a lawyer, and actually I wrote about it in my book. I represented a defendant who was found guilty on, I think, his third offense of trafficking in drugs. And when the jury announced the guilty verdict, his mother stood up in the back of the courtroom, screamed, and started stripping off all of her clothes until she was down to her panties and bra, and ran up and down the aisles of the courthouse screaming and yelling. They had to take her away in a straitjacket.
You know, yes, I mean, you're laughing and I'm grinning here on the other end. You never know how to respond to something like that, because it makes you want to laugh, and at the same time you just think, oh, these poor people. I mean, it's just that, I don't know.
No, I don't know. That's what I say to myself a lot. I just don't know.
Now, we're going to take a break in a minute or two, but first I wonder, I mentioned that you were a Gator. I mentioned that you were a Miami-Dade County judge. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the law to begin with.
I knew from the time I was a very young child that I was going to be a lawyer, because my dad said that I walked and that I talked before I walked, and I walked before I crawled, and I liked to argue. And so from a young age, he would say, you're going to be a lawyer. And that put it in my head that I was going to be a lawyer. So growing up, I always said, I'm going to be a lawyer. And I think it's really important to help direct your children to a particular vocation or endeavor. Even if they don't go there, at least it's in their head that they are going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, you know, I always knew it was going to happen.
Did you work hard in school? Were you naturally someone who was ambitious and worked hard, or did that come later?
I've always been competitive. I always worked hard for good grades. I was the valedictorian of my class.
Hmm.
And because I wanted to be the valedictorian, because I have an uncle in New York, actually, who just retired. He was the first black judge in Syracuse, and he had been the salutatorian of the same high school class. So I knew I had to at least beat him or equal what he had done. So I had that competition going on from a very early age.
And did he ever have a TV show?
Actually, he was approached about a television show, and he didn't think it was something that he could do.
Oh.
He didn't think he had the personality.
Interesting. Well, you had to get it from somewhere.
Yeah, I got it from a lot of places.
Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with Judge Karen Mills Francis, host of the syndicated TV series Judge Karen's Court, and author of the new book Stay in Your Own Lane, Judge Karen's Guide to Living Your Best Life. And we'll be right back.
You were just hanging out in strip clubs?
No, I wasn't out just hanging out.
What were you doing in strip clubs?
Well, actually, I was, because
okay, you were hanging out in strip clubs with dollar bills in your pocket.
No, I wasn't doing that. I definitely wasn't doing that, but I was doing research for...
Oh, so you were doing research?
Yeah.
How about that? You were doing research.
There are some wild things you can just live without. But there are other wild things that make your country life a more enjoyable one. To find out how to make your farm or ranch a more attractive place for nature's wild things, contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office. They can help you build the habitat wild things love. This message brought to you by USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and this radio station.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with Judge Karen Mills Francis, host of the syndicated TV series Judge Karen's Court, and author of the new book, Stay in Your Lane, Judge Karen's Guide to Living Your Best Life. Your Honor, you've written a new book, and I'm wondering, was this done during your enforced vacation from TV, or was this already planned?
I have had a book in my head for a long time, and I think that when life throws you lemons, you need to use that time to think about the lemonade you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And during that forced hiatus, as you put it, I said, you know, this is a good time to start writing my book. And I actually did use the time that I was off and away from the television screen to write this book. And it was a labor of love. because I see so many broken people. I've seen so many broken people most of my professional life, in juvenile court, in regular court, in domestic violence court, that I thought that there are a lot of people who don't have the guidance they need to live a better life. Mm-hmm. And I get asked advice all the time, and I decided to try to put it all in a book.
And the book is it's very entertaining. It's a nice mix of there's some personal stuff we learn about you. There's anecdotes from your career. There's just some general guidance and advice that you give people. One of the things I wanted to ask you, though, is now I actually make my living co-authoring books for people, so I deal with a lot of people who are telling their stories. Mm. What I wondered is, did you learn a lot about yourself, and were there things that surprised you that you learned?
No, I didn't really learn a lot about myself. What I did in writing the book, I would remember things that I had forgotten. And in some ways, yeah, it helped me to live a better life in some ways, because as I'm giving advice to the reader, I'm also giving advice back to myself. Because what we need is the reinforcement. You know, if you want to stop drinking, I mean, you can't just say, I'm going to stop drinking. You got to have reinforcement and support around you. So for me, a lot of the advice was like reinforcement for my own life.
Mm-hmm. What kind of response have you gotten from family now that you have a book in hand? They must be pretty excited.
Oh, yeah, they're very excited about it. And what's more exciting is the number of fans who write to me and tell me that they've read the book and that it has helped them. I had a lady that wrote me yesterday that said, sometimes when things have gotten hard for me, I've had to reread your book. And she says, I've reread your book 4 times, and that made me feel really good. I think the chapter that resonates with a lot of people is the one on revisiting the past, because I do believe that it's hard to move forward in life and create a life that you're proud of and that you're happy in if you're dragging around that heavy-duty luggage from the past. Mm-hmm. Very few of us survive childhood with a carry-on bag. You know, most of us are carrying around, you know, stuff we need to check in. And we got to open up those bags and face it head on and deal with it in order to move on.
Lighten the load a bit.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. I think I'm going to call you to help me co-write my next book.
I'm there. I am so there. You know, one of the things you also talk about in the book, I think, a bit is how people, the way other people judge us, and that you were, there was a time early, I think, in your professional career where you were especially sensitive to that.
Yeah, I remember, and it had to do with childhood stuff, too, because, you know, we had been a very poor family, and, I mean, even growing up in a poor neighborhood, I stood out as poorer than the rest of the poor. Isn't that funny how it's all relative? And I think I was carrying that need to feel validated into my adult life. And then I realized that I had struggled very hard to achieve what I had achieved, which at that time was making it through law school and passing the bar exam, and that I had a right to be wherever I wanted to be and go wherever I wanted to go, regardless of what other people might have thought about me, actually thought, or from my imagination they were thinking. And it's about being self-possessed, really, owning yourself. Because if you don't write your own story, somebody else is going to write it for you. And in the end, all you have is your own story.
I want to come back around before we run out of time and ask you about the TV show. Were you, I mean, this is your second time around with the show through no fault of your own. Were there moments where you thought maybe you were not going to get back on the air, that you'd have to kind of reshuffle your career plans?
I was leaving the inauguration of Barack Obama at the highest high I had felt in a long time. Being in Washington, D.C. with all that positive energy, I was in the back of a car, and I got the telephone call from Sony that the show was being canceled.
Oh, my.
And I said to the caller, I said, but won't somebody else pick it up? And she said, oh, no, that doesn't happen in television. And I kept thinking, but we've done so well. God has brought me this far. Everything that has happened in my life is for some greater purpose. I can't believe that it's over. And I never stopped believing that. I didn't even actively go out and try to find another production company to do the show. I just started working on the book. And then 6 months later, I got a call from Lytton Entertainment saying that they had been approached by Sinclair Television Group asking would they produce my show because several of the station groups were unhappy about the cancellation. And that's how we made it back on the air.
Wow. Were you able to, you don't have to answer this, but were you able to get yourself a somewhat better deal this time in terms of either money or control or long-time interest, something like that?
You know, I truly believe that there's no such thing as a negative occurrence in life. And there's Sony Productions, which is a big multi-million, billion-dollar industry. And I thought, my goodness, this little old Lytton is who's coming to me. And I kind of felt, well, maybe it looks like I'm taking a step down, going with a smaller company. But because I am dealing with a smaller production company, I have more input into what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talked to the president of Lytton. I've had lunch with him. I never met the president of Sony Pictures Television. It felt more like a corporation, and I was just a little tiny piece of it, mm-hmm. whereas in this scenario, it feels like I'm actually a part of what they're doing. And so it's a team effort. So in that way, it's a lot better, actually.
Got it. Well, before we go, I have to ask you, as we're talking, it's January. I understand this fall you have a clothing line coming out. I suspect it's more than red robes, though.
Well, there may be a red robe or two in there. Being a full-figured woman myself and knowing how difficult it is, I was sitting down with a friend of mine from Russia. She happens to be a stylist. And we were talking about how difficult it is to find clothing that looks good on full-figured women. And through that little conversation, we started the idea of developing a line of clothing for full-figured women that's stylish, that women can feel confident in and feel sexy in, and it's called Queen Grace, and it's going to be in stores in the fall.
Will you come back and do our TV show and you know show us some designs, maybe even model a little bit for us?
Well, the next time I see you, maybe in the summer, I'll come back, and I'll be wearing a Queen Grace original just for you.
That would be awesome. That would be just awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
And folks, you can watch Judge Karen's Court by checking your local TV listings for the time and days of play in your city. And you can find her new book, Stay in Your Lane, Judge Karen's Guide to Living Your Best Life, at great bookstores everywhere, or order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Judge Karen Mills Francis, a lot of fun to have a gator on, and thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much, and your listeners can join me on Judge Karen's Facebook fan page, too.
Excellent. Go there. Be there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite TV judges, including Judge David Young, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of Dade County. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, like our friends at starpirates.net, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a piece of your day and spending it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Mr. Media.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hi, I'm Romy Rosemont. I play Finn's mom, or Carol Hudson, on Glee. And, you know, as a good parent, I must warn you, keep your children away from Mr. Media. It's what's best. Really.